Can't wait.
Can't wait to see him. When he cries the sky.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Can't wait to hold him.
Well,
by his touch, I will know him.
Together.
Together.
Me and Jesus.
Jesus and I.
Together.
Jesus and I.
One more time. Together.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Say yes. Say yes.
Brothers and sisters, this is Apostle Terry Angel Mason, and it has been my privilege to teach from the most thrilling book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And now we are in chapter 4, and we will begin at verse 2 through 11. If you recall, we spent a great deal discussing chapter 4, verse 1, because the placement of the rapture is extremely important when it comes to teaching the book of Revelation. So we spent a great deal of time explaining that. Now the saints have been raptured. They have been literally received their rewards. They have been before the judgment seat of Christ. And in this chapter, we get to move forward into the future. Chapters 4 and 5 pictures that which takes place in heaven, while chapters 6 through 18 pictures that which occurs on earth, the tribulation period. Now, let's move on to verse 2. John says, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Again, brothers and sisters, as in chapter 1, verse 10, the Holy Spirit takes complete control of John in order to give him the most glorious vision in all of time or eternity: the Lord Jesus Christ upon his throne. Now, most of us have not personally met many kings, queens, or presidents, but such introductions will become absolutely meaningless when we see Jesus in his majestic splendor. Praise God, that day will soon be here. We're going home imminently. John says, and I say, amen and amen. Verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald." Here we see a comparison of Christ with two precious stones, the jasper and the sardine. The jasper is clear as crystal, chapter 21, verse 11, and is like unto the light of the holy Jerusalem, which comes down from the glory of God, chapter 21, verse 23. Imagine, glory is that which strikes our eyes as we see the Lord Jesus Christ. The sardine is red, the color of fire. This undoubtedly speaks of the righteous wrath of God and the judgment that is to fall in chapters 6 through 18. The rainbow, resembling an emerald, proves that the impending judgment will not come through a flood because of God's promise to Noah in Genesis 9:13, but that it will be a holocaust of fire. After describing the throne and its occupant, John indicates the presence of another group situated in the very presence of the Lord. Verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold." Brothers and sisters, these are not angels, for elders always depict members of the human race. You may ask, what members? The redeemed. They are also in resurrection bodies, as is the Lord, for they sit down. You see, an immaterial body cannot sit. For a material body is necessary in order to sit on a material throne. Christ possesses such a new glorified body. Luke 24:39. And when we see Jesus, we shall be like him. 1 John 3:12. The elders are also clothed in white raiment. One could not put a coat on a spirit very readily, brothers and sisters, for it would continually fall to the floor. But the book of Revelation cannot be spiritualized. These are real people. In fact, since the judgment seat of Christ took place immediately after the come up hither, or immediately after the rapture of verse 1, these individuals are already wearing the crowns which they place at the Master's feet in verse 11. Who are these 24 elders? Some believe that they picture the 24 groups or orders within the Levitical priesthood. This in turn represents all true believers in Christ, for through him as high priest, every Christian is a member of the royal priesthood. 1 Peter 2:9. Now, others believe that the 24 elders represent the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles, for a total of 24. So, in other words, they say that the elders represent God's people of all ages. This is a good possibility, since Revelation 21 verses 12 through 14 describe the New Jerusalem, and the names of the 12 tribes are inscribed on the gates, while the names of the 12 apostles are found upon the 12 foundations of the city. And I find that fascinating. Regardless of the view one holds, the 24 elders represent the children of God in the presence of the Lord before the horrible tribulation period begins in chapter 6. A preview of the judgment about to be unleashed upon the entire globe is found in verse 5. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Now, brothers and sisters, lightnings, thunders, and voices speak of judgment. Rumblings resound throughout the heavens as the saints are informed of that which is to occur on earth. Oh, brothers and sisters, the present hour is so late, prophetically speaking, that this very scene could happen soon. We may literally go home momentarily to become the very participants around that throne. Oh, brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming soon, and his appearing is at the door. Matthew 25:33. But wait, the seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Picture the Holy Spirit in all of his perfection. For seven always denotes flawlessness in the Bible. Note the seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit as found in Isaiah 11:2. This blessed Holy Spirit is also involved in the impending judgment. In fact, each member of the Trinity is righteously indignant over the earth in indignation and with wickedness and participates unitedly in the 21 seal judgment and bowl judgments which occur in chapters 6 through 18. In verse 6, there is hope. And before the throne was a sea of glass, like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Although thunderous judgment will soon be released upon the earth, perfect peace surrounds God's throne. The glassy sea pictures calmness, a sea untroubled by winds and storms. This, brothers and sisters, is the church at rest before the storms occur upon earth. Hallelujah. Be ready.
We'll get out.
now, brothers and sisters, we began with verse 7 and 8. Verse 7 reads, "And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." These verses are symbolic. Always take every word of God from the Bible literally, unless God specifically indicates that it is figurative. Now in these texts, we find the words "like a" and "as a" expressing symbolism. The term "beast" is zoon in the Greek and means a living creature. These are literal created beings. At this point, the symbolic and figurative explanation poses no problem. Let me explain. While these beings are definitely literal, the portrait of them bearing six wings and numberless eyes is but a figurative expression depicting their strength and knowledge. Thus, they have eyes before and behind to see all things clearly and accurately. By comparing the characteristics of these living creatures, which Isaiah 6 verses 1 through 3 are in that verse, we see that they are undoubtedly seraphim, angels of God created to praise, exalt, and adulate the Lord. These beings are not monstrosities. Instead, they are a picture of beauty. Now listen. Within each species, there is always a leader. The lion among wild beasts, the calf among domestic animals, the eagle among birds, and man among all creatures. This is the portrait set before us as angels in their magnificence praise the Lord, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." This threefold adulation of holiness is for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the three in one, 1 John 5:7. The description, "which was and is to come," is the title of the Father, chapter 1, verse 4, the Son, verse 8, and also of the Holy Spirit, who always was and is to come. For the Trinity works unitedly. The praising of God by these living creatures is contagious, and the entire group of God's people, pictured by the 24 elders, join them. Verses 9 and 11 reads, "And when those beasts or living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever," in verse 10 it says, "the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, Jesus, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things for thy pleasure. They were created." This is one of the most glorious moments in heaven. The crowned saints lay their rewards at the feet of Jesus. They lay aside their rewarded glory to add his glory, thereby ascribing all glory and honor to him. You see, brothers and sisters, They know that their victories came only because of his power working within them. Now the praise session is concluded with the words, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power. For thou, O Lord, hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Imagine, both the angels and the elders praise God for creating them. This proves that there will be no unsaved evolutionists in heaven. Instead, they will join with Darwin in singing songs about their ancestors and monkeys in a place where air conditioning does not exist. Had to throw that little joke in there, friends. Oh, Jesus is coming, though. Prepare, plan to be with the blessed host with the greatest praise festival in the entire universe, and heaven occurs. I bless you.
What joy it brings. My soul can't wait to see your face.
What we gonna do?
I'll usher in Jesus.
Come on.
When I get there,
what are you gonna do? Second verse.
You'll wipe my tears.
Come on.
You'll say, well done.
What you gonna do?
You'll hold me close.
And tell me what?
Tell me I'm overcoming.
Come on.
You will exchange joy for my pain.
What you gonna pray?
And I'll praise your name, Jesus.
What's gonna happen, y'all?
I'll bless your name, Jesus. When I get back.
Second verse, what are you gonna do?
You'll wipe my tears. You'll say, well done. You'll hold me close.
And tell me what?
Tell me I'm overcoming.
You're gonna say.
You will exchange joy for my pain.
You said.
I'll praise your name, Jesus.
Get up, come on, come
when
on.
I get back. Come on, let's go. We'll be right back.